Lesson number 8 will deal with the distinction between the concept of being saved in the Catholic Church and the concept of being saved in the traditional or Protestant sense. It is entitled Catholic Teaching on Being Saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Recently, while driving down the freeway, I heard a Christian radio station in which the listeners call in to ask questions. A young man called in and explained he had once been saved but fell from grace and now wanted to know what must he do. The minister responded that he had probably not been saved, as evidenced by his falling away. John Calvin, a Protestant reformer, taught justification once received could never be lost. Martin Luther, another reformer, held it could only be lost by a loss of faith. You could tell the minister's answer left the young man perplexed in spirit and perhaps tinged with a bit of despair. I could not but reflect how different the Catholic doctrine of grace and justification was from that implied by the radio minister. There are three fundamental principles in traditional Protestantism in opposition to the teachings of the Catholic Church. These root principles express themselves in a variety of ways among the different Protestant communities. When these three principles are practically applied to everyday religious life, they have a wide range of effect upon many aspects of Christian life. The first of these principles hold the Holy Scripture to be the sole source of Christian revelation and authority in a Christian life. This we have previously discussed. The second two are, first, faith without work saves, and a person receives the grace of justification at baptism rather than the grace of sanctification at baptism. In these last two areas, there exist some subtle but essential differences between the Catholic Church and most Protestant communities. Many errors circulate about the Catholic belief, our beliefs in these matters. This causes no surprise, as few Catholics truly understand the beautiful teachings on grace and justification taught by the Council of the Church at the Second Council of Orange in 529 A.D. and 1,000 years later at the Council of Trent. First, let us review the common ground of mutual belief. We agree, that is the Protestants and Catholics, we believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Savior of all mankind. The life and death of Jesus atone for the sins of all men. Jesus merited by his death on the cross salvation for all men. No person merits their own salvation. No human being gains heaven through their own personal merits. Faith is essential for salvation. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, for it is a gift of God, not of works, that no man may glory. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. The Catholic Church teaches that faith is the beginning of salvation, the basis and the root of all justification. Faith is indispensable for the justification of unbelievers. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder to them that seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. To say that faith is the beginning, the basis, and the root of justification is not the same to say faith alone saves. Jesus came to save human beings, and he saves them as human beings. The Church upholds the freedom of human will. For a person to perform a truly human act, the deed must flow from the free will of the person. The grace of God must act upon the human will and call the soul to faith and salvation. But the divine influence is not irresistible. The human will remains free under the influence of grace to assent or resist God's call to salvation. This, the Holy Scripture implies. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, then, that you and your descendants may live. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 19. How often have I yearned to gather your children, but you refuse me. Matthew 24, verse 37. You're always opposing the Holy Spirit. Acts 7, verse 51. St. Augustine taught that justification is not only a work of grace, but at the same time a work of the free will. He who created thee without thy help does not justify thee without thy help, he writes. The church holds that along with faith there are corporative works on the part of man that are necessary for salvation. These works of man cannot merit salvation, but they are conditions along with faith necessary to receive salvation. Along with faith, there must never be absent sorrow for sins committed, as forgiveness is not possible without an interior turning from sin. As Peter preached in Jerusalem, you must reform and be baptized, that your sins may be forgiven. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. The prophet Ezekiel preached, turn and be converted from all your crimes, that there may be no cause of guilt for you. Cast away from you all the crimes you have committed, and make for yourself a new heart and a new spirit. The scriptures certainly confirm that love cannot be absent in a saving faith. That we have passed from death to life, we know because we love the brothers, writes St. John. The man who does not love is among the living dead. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. St. Augustine writes, without love, faith can indeed exist, but can be of no avail. When it comes to the definition of a faith that saves, the Catholic and the Protestant differ. This difference can be best understood in the light of their teaching on the grace of salvation. The Protestant reformers believed justification resulting from faith and baptism to be imputed to a person like a juridical declaration of a judge. In other words, a sinner stands before God. But because of his faith in Jesus and his baptism, Jesus stands between the Father and the sinner, the criminal. The merits of Jesus are imputed to the sinner. In other words, the merits of Jesus are moved over into the sinner's ledger, far outweighing all his sins. These sins are not therefore imputed to the sinner, but the merits of Jesus are. The sinner is saved through Jesus. God does not see the sinner nor his sins, but only Jesus and his sacrifice. This doctrine finds support in such scriptures as, you have forgiven the guilt of your people, you have covered all their sins. I mean that God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. God it is who gives you life in Christ Jesus. He has made him our wisdom, our justice, our sanctification, and our redemption. This is very lovely, but the Catholic doctrine is even more beautiful. In Catholic teaching, the grace of justification enters into the very soul of the sinner, completely removing all sin from the soul. The baptized becomes as Christ, sharing in the very holiness and sanctity of Jesus. We read, each of you is a son of God because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 26. the baptized, and Jesus become one, and the life of Jesus continues to grow and develop in the Christian soul by initiation of Jesus and into Jesus and cooperation, by imitation of Jesus and cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The holiness of the human soul is distinct from the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. The holiness, our personal holiness, is distinct from that of the Holy Spirit's presence. The likeness of God's image can grow day by day more intense in the human soul. That divine power of His, we read in 2 Peter, has freely bestowed on us the great and precious things He promised, so that through these you have fled a world corrupted by lust, you might become sharers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. This is the Catholic doctrine of sanctifying grace, sharers of the divine nature. This doctrine is not accepted in traditional Protestant theology. Justification, according to their theology, wipes away the sin but leaves the sinner. Man remains a sinner always. Even if a soul dies a moment after baptism, it enters heaven as a sinner. In the Catholic theology, a sinner truly becomes just through sanctifying grace. In the state of sanctifying grace, a person can merit by his or her good works an increase in sanctifying grace and reward in heaven. That's not the same thing as salvation. This doctrine is really the basis for the Protestant difficulty in accepting the Immaculate Conception of Mary, the intercession devotion of the saints, the doctrine of merits and good works, the sacrament of penance and confirmation. Flowing out of this doctrine on grace of justification, the faith that saves will be different from for the Catholic and the Protestant. For the Protestant, the faith that saves is an absolute confidence in Jesus as one's personal Savior. This fiducial faith expresses itself as absolute certainty of salvation. This act of faith does not touch the will of man, for as Luther taught, the will remains essentially corrupted through sin and incapable of willing good. For a Catholic, the faith that saves must enter into the very soul of the person, effecting a spiritual purification and love that must express itself in good works in order to be genuine. For a Catholic, faith without works is dead and cannot save. James chapter 2, verse 17. A Catholic is often perplexed when a Protestant asks, "Have you been saved?" He or she knows the actual work of salvation has been completed by Jesus. A Catholic depends on the grace merited by Jesus, not only to be initially justified, but to persevere in His saving grace until the end of life. Truly, from the beginning to the end of salvation, Jesus is Savior, but the Catholic knows he or she must willfully cooperate with God's grace. By serious sin, the grace of justification can be lost. The answer of the Catholic Church to the young man who asked the question on the phone would be, the baptized who have fallen into serious sin can always be restored by true repentance. As the Scriptures tell us, I desire not the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. The Lord shows you generous patience, since he wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Do you not know that God's kindness is an invitation to you to repent? Romans chapter 2, verse 4. To the question, have you been saved? A Catholic can reply, I know my Redeemer lives, and by his grace I confidently hope to be saved. In the meantime, he or she should diligently heed the words of St. Paul. So then, my beloved, my dear beloved, obedient as always to my urgings, work with anxious concern to achieve your salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. This ends lesson 8. God bless you.